minute detail of how to offer salah, where to give the hand, how to stand, how to sit, etc., how many rakat to offer. The Holy Quran says, Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. You have to look at the Prophet. The Quran says, Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. In several places. In Surah Al-Imran chapter number 3 verse number 32. In Surah Al-Imran chapter number 3 verse number 132. In Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse 59. In Surah Maidah chapter 5 verse 92, in Surah Anfal chapter number 8 verse number 1, in Surah Anfal chapter number 8 verse number 20, in Surah Anfal chapter number 8 verse number 46, in Surah Nur chapter number 24 verse 54, in Surah Nur chapter 24 verse 56, in Surah Muhammad chapter 47 verse number 33, in Surah Mujadila chapter 58 verse number 13, in several places, in Surah Taghabun chapter number 64 verse number 12, the Holy Quran says, Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. For the minute details, look at the Prophet. And it's mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, volume number 1, in the book of Adan, chapter number 18, hadith number 604, as well as in Sahih Bukhari, volume number 9, hadith number 352, the Prophet said, pray as you have seen me praying. Pray as you have seen me praying. For minute details, you have to refer to the authentic hadith. The salah is the most important pillar of Islam after iman, after faith. And the Holy Quran says in Surah Dhariyat, chapter 51, verse 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have created the jinn and the men not but to worship me. And the Arabic word ibadah comes from the root word abd, which means a slave, a servant. It's the duty of every servant to be obedient to his master. And every human being is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Almighty God. And it's the duty of every human being to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are doing ibadah, you are doing worship. If you abstain from the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited you from doing, you are doing ibadah. Many people have the misconception that salah is the only form of ibadah. In fact, salah is the most important form of ibadah, but it's not the only form of ibadah. Following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ibadah. And salah is the most important form of ibadah. Salah can also mean rendering obedience. You can only be obedient if you know what you are reciting in your salah. If you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do. Therefore it's compulsory that every Muslim should know what he is reciting in his salah. He should also read the Holy Quran. If he doesn't understand Arabic, he should also read its translation, its meaning, so that he can implement on the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are various dangers if a person doesn't offer salah. There are chances your faith can become weak, or it can even get lost. Because a human being thinks that the well-being and honor that he has is due to the worldly material things. And he goes away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is lack of discipline. When he goes away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to acquire the worldly desires, the material things, there are chances that he may do foul play and go away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, from the straight path. There is lack of inner peace. Irrespective of how much wealth a person has, the wealth cannot gain him peace. And the reason that the people don't offer salah is due to lack of knowledge. The Holy Quran says in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse number 185, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every soul shall have a taste of death. And you shall have your total recompense on the day of judgment. And only he who is saved from the hellfire and is admitted to the gardens shall have achieved the objective of the life. For verily, the life in this world is a mere deception of goods and chattels. There are various benefits of offering salah. Salah is a way of life. It caters to the spiritual aspect of your soul and the physical needs of your body. The salah, it increases your faith. It strengthens your faith. The Holy Quran says in Surah Anfal, chapter number 8, verse number 2, that the true believers are those who, when Allah is mentioned, feel a tremor in the heart. And when His signs are rehearsed, it strengthens their faith and they put their complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Quran says in Surah Fatiha, chapter 1, verses 5-7, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Dear Lord, we worship, dear Lord, we ask for help. إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Show us the straight path, the path of those who have earned high favor, and of those whose path is not wrought, nor who go astray. It increases the discipline of your life. A true Muslim, he starts his day by offering the Fajr Salah. And in the Fajr Salah, the Muazzin, in the Adhan, he also adds, As-salatu khairun min an-naum, that Salah is better than sleep. Offering prayer is better than sleeping. And a true Muslim, at intervals, he offers Salah. And he ends his day with the Isha Salah before he goes to sleep. The Salah, it also improves the social conditions. The congregational Salah, it increases the brotherhood, the fraternity, the unity, and is an example of equality. The solidarity increases when the people of the community, they meet each other, and the love and affection between them increases. The Holy Quran says in Surah Hujurat, chapter 49, verse number 13, Ya ayyuhan nasu, inna khalaqnakum min dhakri wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, inna Allah alimun khabir. O humankind, we have created you from a single pair of male and female, and have divided you into nations and tribes, so that you shall recognize each other, not that you shall despise each other. And the most honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the person who has taqwa, who has righteousness. And Allah is all-knowing, full of wisdom. The criteria for judgment in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not caste, it's not color, it's not creed, it's not wealth, it's not sex, but it is taqwa, it's righteousness, it's God consciousness, it's piety. The Holy Quran says in Surah Humza, chapter 104, verse number 1, وَإِلُلْ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every kind of scandal monger and backbiter. The Salah prevents us from scandal monging and backbiting. The Holy Quran says in Surah Hujurat, chapter 49, verse number 11 and 12, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, let not men amongst you laugh at others. You may never know that the latter may be better than the former. Let not women laugh at others. You may never know that the latter may be better than the former. Do not defame. Do not be sarcastic. Don't call each other with nicknames. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you believe, avoid suspicion. For suspicion in many cases is a sin. Do not spy on one another. Neither speak ill about people behind their back. That means don't backbite. Are you ready to eat the flesh of your dead brother? The Holy Quran says that if you backbite, it is as though you are eating the flesh of your dead brother. Because eating the flesh of your dead brother is double crime. eating flesh of a human being is a sin. Even the cannibals who eat human beings, they don't eat the meat of their own brother. So the Holy Quran says, if you backbite, you are doing double sin. It is as though you are eating the flesh of your dead brother. Speaking ill about someone without proof is a sin. Speaking ill about someone behind the back is double sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and gives the answer, nay, you will abhor it. The salah, it increases truthfulness and honesty in the business and the daily dealing. As I said earlier, the Quran says in Surah An-Kabut, chapter 29, verse number 45, Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa akim salata. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That recite of what we have revealed to thee of the inspiration of the book, and establish regular prayers. For verily, prayers restrain you from shameful and unjust deeds. The Holy Quran says in Surah Isra, chapter 17, verse number 81, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوكَ. Say, truly truth has arrived, and falsehood perished. For verily, falsehood is by its nature bound to perish. Salah teaches us that we should be truthful. A similar message repeated in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse number 42 and 43. That cover not the truth with falsehood, nor conceal the truth when you know it. The Quran teaches us to be truthful. To always be truthful. The Holy Quran says in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse number 188, that eat up not your wealth on vanities, so that you may use it as a bait for the judges. To eat up little bit of somebody else's property, knowingly or unknowingly. The Holy Quran says that bribing is forbidden. You should not bribe. It gives us a way how to lead a truthful life. The Holy Quran, it brings a person inner peace. As it says in Surah Ra'd, chapter 13, verse number 28, that verily, in the remembrance of Allah, hearts do find peace and tranquility. When you remember Allah, when you offer salah, you have a peaceful life. You acquire tranquility. It's the best way of communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran says in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, verse number 153, Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu sta'inu bisabri wa salah. O you who believe, seek Allah's help with patient perseverance and prayer. Inna Allaha ma sabreen. For verily, Allah is with those who patiently persevere. Allah says, Inna Allaha ma sabreen. For verily, Allah is with those who patiently persevere. Besides the social benefits, the spiritual benefits and the other benefits, in salah, we also acquire physical and medical benefits. In salah, when we do ruku, that is bow down, extra blood flows into the upper part of the body. The spine becomes supple. The spinal nerves are nourished. It relieves backache and pain. It's a good posture for flatulence. When we come back to the ar-raku position, that is after ruku when we stand up, the blood which has entered in the upper part of the body comes back to normalcy and the body is relaxed. When we do sujood, we put our forehead on the ground. It's the best position of salah. It is the most important part of salah. Daily, the human beings are propounded by electrostatic charges from the atmosphere, which gets precipitated in the central nervous system, which gets supersaturated. These extra electrostatic charges have to be dissipated and discharged. Otherwise, you will have headache, neck ache, muscle spasms, etc. No wonder people regularly take tranquilizers and drugs to relieve the pain. These extra electrostatic charges have to be dissipated and discharged. For example, how do you have a heavy electric appliance? It normally has a 3-pin plug. The third pin and the third wire is for grounding, for earthing. Similarly, when we do sujood, we put the forehead on the ground. And the best part of the body, the brain, and the best part of the brain, the frontal lobe, is put on the ground, which causes grounding or discharging of these extra electrostatic charges. That does not mean that if you put your hand below the musalla, the prayer mat, you get a shock. But there is dominance of the frontal lobe, and the thinking capacity of the brain is not on the top of the brain, it is in the frontal lobe. Therefore, we do sujood in salah. When we do sajda, there is extra blood supply going to the brain, which is responsible for a healthy brain. When we do sujood, extra blood flows into the skin of the face and the neck, which increases the blood circulation of the skin of the face, which is very healthy, especially in cold season. It prevents diseases such as fibrositis and chilblain. When you do sujood, there is drainage of the paranasal sinuses, and there is less chances you will have sinusitis, that is inflammation of the sinuses. Normally, the human beings throughout the day, they have an erect posture. And the maxillary sinus, the ostium, the opening is in the upper medial part. And the secretions, because of the erect posture, cannot be drained. Therefore, in sujood, it's like inverting a pot which is full. It causes drainage of the maxillary sinus. It also causes drainage of the secretion of the frontal sinus, the ethmoidal sinus, and the sphenoidal sinus. And there's less chances the person will have sinusitis, or if he's suffering from sinusitis, it's a natural treatment. Sujood is also a natural treatment for a person suffering from bronchiectasis, which causes drainage of the secretions of the bronchial tree. It prevents the accumulation of the secretion in the bronchial tree. It's also helpful in other pulmonary diseases in which secretions are accumulated. Besides secretions, other things like dust and bacteria can also accumulate. It's helpful in all these diseases. Normally when you breathe, only 2/3 of your lung capacity is utilized. The remaining 1/3 of the lung, the air remains in. Only 2/3 air comes in as fresh air and goes out. The 1/3 air is called as residual air. When you do sujood, the abdominal viscera, they press against the diaphragm. And the diaphragm, it presses against the lower lobes of the lungs, which causes exhaling of even this residual air. So once the residual air goes out, more fresh air comes in, which is responsible for a healthy lung. When you do sujood, due to decreased gravitational force, there is extra venous return from the abdominal organ. The venous return of the abdominal organ, it increases. The sujood and ruku, it's a good posture against femoral and esophageal hernia. It's also a prophylaxis treatment in a person suffering from hemorrhoid, which in layman's terminology is called as pile. It's also helpful in the prolapse of the uterus. When you do sujood, your weight is concentrated on the knees when your legs are flexed. And the soleus and the gastrocnemius muscles, the muscles of the legs, are also called the peripheral heart. because it has an extensive venous return, which is responsible for increasing the venous return of the lower half of the body. And it also causes relaxation of the lower half of the body. Where do sujood? Your knees are touching on the floor, including your hands and your forehead. This posture is helpful in disease of the cervical spine because it is helpful in the intervertebral joints. The posture of the sujood is also helpful in cardiac diseases. When a person rises from sujood in the jalsa position, in the squatting position, the blood which has flowed in the upper part of the body comes back to normalcy and his body is relaxed. There's extra blood flowing in the muscles and nerves of the thigh and the back. The back muscles are relaxed. It's useful and helpful in constipation and indigestion. It's helpful in a person suffering from peptic ulcer and other stomach ailments. When a person gets up from the squatting position to the qiyam position, to the standing position, his weight is concentrated on the ball of the feet, which improves the strength of the back muscles, thigh muscle, knee muscle and leg muscles. There are various benefits, physical and medical, when we offer salah. But we Muslims, we don't offer salah for these medical benefits. These are only side dishes. We offer salah to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to thank Him. We offer salah for guidance, to be programmed towards righteousness. These side dishes, the medical benefits, may attract a person who has less faith or may attract a non-believer. But we Muslims, our main course is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our biryani. There are some people who may ask that we see a few Muslims who offer salah 5 times a day, but yet they cheat, they are not honest, they are unrighteous people. So how come when you say salah is a programming towards righteousness, few Muslims we know who offer 5 times salah, very regular, but yet they are not righteous? The answer to this question was given by the Qari in the beginning of a talk, and he recited verses from Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse number 1 and 2, which says, قَدْ أَفْلَاحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Indeed, successful are the believers, those who pray with humility and attentiveness. Arabic word, خَاشِعُونَ, is derived from خُشُو, which means humility and attentiveness. So Allah says, all those who offer salah with attentiveness and humility, they will indeed be successful. They will derive the benefits. But all those who only pray outwardly without humility and attentiveness, they will not derive the benefits of salah. So these few Muslims who offer salah and do not derive the benefits and are not righteous, it is because they only offer the salah outwardly, without humility and attentiveness. And for a person to be attentive, but natural, he should know the meaning of what is offering the salah, and he should follow the commandments what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. For example, in the salah, if the imam, after Surah Fatiha, recites Surah Ikhlas, and says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, say He is Allah one and only. All the Muslims who come to the mosque to offer salah, they agree that Allah is one and only. No one says there is more than one Allah. Who is the imam giving guidance to? What the imam is doing, he is conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslims and saying, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, say He is Allah one and only. Go and tell to those people who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not believe Allah is one, go and tell them that say there is Allah one and only. So the Imam is telling the Muslims, go out and tell to the other people who do not believe Allah is one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and only. And describe to them the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many Muslims offer salah, but when they immediately finish their salah, the message what they received in their salah has no impact on their life at all. And the main reason is because they have not understood the message. So if you don't understand the message, how will you implement it? You have to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to derive the benefits of the salah. For example, if you have a servant who is very punctual, who is very regular in coming to work, and he comes to the office and he praises you. But when you give him any work or ask him to even get a glass of water, he continues praising you but does not get the glass of water. You ring the bell and your servant comes running to you. Yes, master. When you tell him that this is an important, urgent letter, please deliver it to my client. It's very urgent. Your servant stays in the office and continues saying, I am obedient to my master. My master is great. What will you do? Will you give him a promotion? Will you give him a bonus? Will you kick him out of the job? So similarly, it is the duty that the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the human beings, we should follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only by offering praises, it's not sufficient. For example, a sick man, he goes to a doctor, and the doctor gives him a prescription, and he writes in it that you have to take the following tablets thrice a day. The patient takes the prescription, and religiously, very dedicatedly, he reads the prescription thrice a day, but does not implement on the message of the prescription. He does not take the tablets. Do you think he'll be cured of his sickness? So in order to derive the benefit of the salah, you should even follow the commandments which we get in the salah. That's the reason there are few people who offer salah but do not get the benefit of the salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a few of these people in Surah Ma'un, chapter number 107, verse number 4 to 7, which says, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. That woe to the worshippers, those who are neglectful of the prayers, who only pray to be seen of men, but do not even provide neighborly need. With such people, the Holy Quran says, only pray to be seen of men. Woe to them, curse them. The Holy Quran says in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse number 142, that the hypocrites, when they stand in prayers, they do not stand with earnestness. They only pray to be seen of men, and little do they have Allah in remembrance. Allah says, there are people who are hypocrites, who only pray to be seen of men, but do not pray with earnestness, neither remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their salah. Every Muslim, it is compulsory that he should offer salah 5 times a day. There is no option. Even when he is traveling, he should offer salah. But there are certain concessions given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse number 101, that when you travel in the earth, there is no blame on you if you shorten your salah. When you are traveling, you can shorten the 4 rakats of Zohar, Asr, and the last Isha Salah to 2 rakats. You can even combine the Zohar and the Asr Salah as well as combine the Maghrib and the Isha Salah. It's a confession given to you. There's no excuse for you not to pray. Even in the battlefield, you have to offer Salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the guidance how Salah should be offered in the battlefield. The Holy Quran says in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 102, that, O Prophet, when thou standest for salah in the battlefield, take one party of the men to stand with you for salah along with the arm. And when they finish the salah, let them go behind and ask the other party to offer salah. But you can have the arms in your hand when you are offering salah. The Holy Quran says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2, verse number 239, that if you fear any danger or any enemy, you can even pray on the foot or while riding. But when you are in security, celebrate the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He has taught you. The Holy Quran says that offering salah is compulsory, irrespective if you are at war, in danger. And the Quran says in Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse 103, that offer the salah standing or sitting or lying. But when you are free from danger, offer it in the regular manner. In the battlefield, if you fear there's danger or any other danger, you can offer salah even while standing or sitting or lying on your side. Even if you're sick, the Holy Quran says in Surah Al-Imran chapter 3 verse number 191, that the believers offer the salah standing, sitting or lying on their sides. As mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. And the translation of Sahih Bukhari has got 9 volumes. This is the first volume. As mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. Volume number 2. In the book of Taqfir, chapter number 19, hadith number 218, that a person approached the Prophet and said he was suffering from hemorrhoids, pile. How should he perform the salah? The Prophet said, pray while standing. If you can't do it, pray while sitting. If you can't do it, pray while lying on your side. Even if you are sick, you have no excuse for missing your salah. If you can't stand, pray while sitting. If you can't sit, pray while lying on your side. You can even pray with ishara, with just indication. But offering salah is compulsory. There is no excuse for you to miss your salah. The Holy Quran says in Surah Maidah chapter 5, verse number 55, that your true friends are no less than Allah, His Messenger, and the believers who offer their salah, who practice regular charity, and who humble themselves. It's mentioned Abu Dawud. This is Abu Dawud. Abu Dawud has got 3 volumes. It's mentioned Abu Dawud, volume number 1, in the book of Salah, chapter number 300, hadith number 863. The Prophet said that the first thing a person will be asked to account amongst all his actions on the day of judgment is salah. Means the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inquire you is regarding salah. And the Holy Prophet said, it's mentioned Sahih Muslim. This is Sahih Muslim. Few people may have the translation. It's available in IRF. This is Sahih Muslim. It's mentioned in Sahih Muslim, volume number 1. Sahih Muslim consists of 4 volumes. This was the first volume. Mentioned volume number 1 in the book of faith, chapter number 36, hadith number 146, that the difference between a man and the difference between a mushrik, a polytheist, and kafir, an unbeliever, is the negligence of salah. It's mentioned Abu Dawud, volume number 3, in the Kitab al-Sunnah, chapter number 1691, hadith number 4661, it says that the difference between a servant and a kafir, an unbeliever, is the abandonment of prayer. Means anyone who is negligent of his salah or abandoned salah, according to this hadith, he is equivalent to a kafir. The Holy Quran says in Surah Mudassir, chapter 74, verse number 41 to 43, ask the sinners that what led them into the hellfire, and they will say, we were not of those who offered salah, we were not of those who prayed. There's a beautiful dua here in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse number 40, which says that, O my Lord, make me one who establishes regular prayers and raise such people amongst my offspring. O my Lord, grant me this favor. The dua given in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse number 201, which is a very famous dua, is Rabbana atina fid dunya hasnatan wa fil akhirati hasnatan wa qina adhaban nar. That, O my Lord, give me the good in this world and in the hereafter, and save me from the torment of hellfire. I would like to end my talk by giving the quotation of the Holy Quran in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6 verse 162 and 163, which says, Kul, إن صلاتي ونسوكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. That say, truly, my prayer, my service of sacrifice, my life and death is all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cherisher of this world. He has no partner, this I have been commanded, and I am of the first to bow to his will. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.